Hallelujah on that. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Of course, I'm Brother Randall Hall, and thankful for this opportunity that the brothers have deemed it, that I should stand before you and administer what thus saith the Lord. Amen. It's good to be back at the Stony Island Street Church of Christ. I've been gone for a week. I'm in Dibbo, Texas, visiting my 92-year-old mother, which is doing extremely well, and she has the prayers of the congregation on her heart at all times, and they ask for the prayers of the congregation. The congregation there in the Church of Christ is wonderful, marvelous. Precious things are being done. The name of the children of the congregation that stood on my mind while we're visiting were R.J. Alvarez, who taught a lesson. They allow their young people to teach a lesson on a certain given day. And he had Dalen Brooks gave an illustration of how the church body works. And he had a 10-year-old girl. He had a 40-pound weight curl bar put out there. He had a 10-year-old girl get up from the audience, come there and try to lift it. She couldn't lift it. He had her father come and help her to lift it. And they lifted it together. It was devastating. They put it down. He said, try to lift it again. She tried to lift it. She couldn't lift it. He had another girl, her age, 10-year-old, come. They both lifted it together. The church was in awe. Illustration of how we work together, not apart. It was wonderful. These things stick on your heart. When children are taught at such a young, tender age, to give examples that you can put your hand on. You know what I mean? You can get it. You put it where you can get it. And to me, that was just over the top right there for my visit. And there were two other congregations that I attended, Church of Christ, that had they were singing going on, and just a joyous occasion. Young Jalen, his younger sister, had her tonsils taken out. They did another thing. They told her, come up, 10-year-old girl. All the congregation stood up, came there, and put their hand on her and prayed about having her tonsils taken out. That girl looked like she was ready to run to the hospital after that, have them taken out, run back to service. The power of touch, the power of a congregation being unified behind an individual, a member of the body of Christ, is priceless, especially for our young people. Seth McGill was there, my nephew. He's 13 years old. He's 6'5". He's a lieutenant in the, he's a sergeant, excuse me, in the ROTC. Holds number one spot as a musician in this town. He's just a well-rounded young Christian youth. And they had 147 youth attend the youth rally they have, which is given every second Tuesday of every month. Which the power down there of their youth takes you to a whole new level. I pray that for the churches of Christ in unity in the Chicago area, that we become this unified in spirit and backing our young people and seeing them grow together in the grace and the admiration of the Lord, which I'm sure you fathers who have children who have grown them up in Christ have sampled that golden elixir of faith, which strengthens us and keeps us in the straight and the narrow way in Christ. I stand before you this morning to bring a lesson pertaining to children. And this lesson is not necessarily to the young as far as age-wise, but to the children of God, those who are sanctified, set apart in the body of Christ, covered in the blood of the Lamb, and are called the children of God, those who are followers of God. The title is taken, Take a Look at the Children. According to Matthew 19 and 14, which is read into our hearing. Which, if you have your Bibles, and we have our Bibles with us this morning, children of God, if we do, let's turn there. Let me see your Bibles. Raise them up high. It's always a good feeling to see who has their Bibles. You have them? You have the mind of God in your hand. The book that points the way to salvation, it speaks of the doom of those who are sinners, as well as the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, precepts binding, history is true, and its decisions are unchangeable. You have the mind of God in your hand. Don't let anybody fool you. Some good questions this morning. Brother Ronald, is it? Our new brother? Thank you for bringing your son again. You're right, Brother Thompson. Nothing more strengthening than to see a grandfather or an older person bringing a younger person to Christ, to where the church assembles. And so that was very strengthening and good to see you back. Our affectionate and fervent prayers are with you. Through your hospital and all, you look good, man. Hallelujah. You strengthen us by seeing you. Amen. And so Matthew, the 19th chapter, the 14th verse, and it reads, Very simple scripture, very to the point. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The little children. The little children in this case were youth and young coming to Christ, but he's speaking in future tense of the establishment of the church and those who are at the mind of children, those who will allow themselves to be led, those who will adhere to the instructions of the church, the Spirit of God guiding them to a maturity level in which they will secure their souls against the day of judgment. I want to look at certain points here, but I want us to, as children of God, to look in your own heart. But I want you to look at the person next to you. Don't look at the person in front of you or behind you. I want you to take a circumspective look into the Word of God. I want you to see a picture of yourself and where you are as a child of God. Where do you find your children? That's kind of a loaded question. Where do you find us? That should have rephrased that into, where do I find myself as a child of God? I'm talking about not just in the congregation of the righteous. I mean, when we're away those 6 days of the week, more so when we're out there in the world. We find ourselves, where do we find ourselves? Just take a circumspective look. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to say anything other than you take a look and where do you find yourself those 6 days of the week? And the second point, point two, will be a child's mind is it on Christ. Once you take a look at where you are during the week, you have to take an acknowledgement, has my mind been focused on Christ? That's a circumspective look. There's a call that's ringing out through the city of Chicago, or through the churches in the city of Chicago. Our children are suffering from lack of knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's very prevalent, church. It's time for the true Christian soldiers to take action. A soldier, a vigilant person in Christ, those who have prepared themselves with the whole armor of God, as it speaks in Ephesians, to go to battle for the Lord. It's time to teach the little ones Christ. And let me tell you something. Wherever you are not knowledgeable in your life, you're a child. No individual knows it all. God knows it all. We often take a look at ourselves through the week and find ourselves in a place that really is a sin. And we have to make a decision to either switch our mindset and switch our positions so that it will align with God. And so in that instance, you find yourself needing to adhere to the instructions of our Heavenly Father as to what decision we should make from that point on. Matthew 19:14 says, it speaks, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. How do we accomplish this task? Remember, Christ said in Matthew 10:42, and whosoever giveth one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall in no means lose his reward. We're talking about action, church. Action. We sing the spiritual song, Lord, I want a mansion, a robe, and I want a crown. Well, what can we do to obtain them? God just doesn't give them out to anybody who wants one. We sing it all the time, a mansion, a robe, and a crown. What are you doing to obtain that? And I want to be very down to earth at this time as I'm speaking to children now. I'm not speaking to all you who are know-it-all. I'm speaking right now to the mindset of those who consider themselves as children and are taking a circumspective look and want to know this morning what the Lord has for them individually in their lives to strengthen them and to make them what he wants them to be. Church, here's a few tips. Are you really? Are you listening? Sometimes when you speak soft, people open their eyes and they draw closer to you. Are you listening? Let me hear you say you're listening. Listening? All right, here we are. Number one, it's going to be eight examples. I'm going to start off with number one, says, Get a good night's sleep the night before you come to church. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Get a good night's sleep. Repeat it. Before you come to church. Okay? Number two. Get up early enough so that rushing is not required. Say it with me. Get up early enough so that rushing is not required. This is to the simple. If you overcomplicate this, you're not going to get it. We're going to keep make this plain. Number three, eat breakfast to avoid a growling stomach and slow senses. Did you hear what I said? Eat breakfast so it'll avoid you coming up here and your senses are dull of hearing. Why? Because you're not nourished physically. Christ always nourished physically, and he gave you the spiritual. Number four, avoid disagreements with spouses and children, or anything that leaves the nerves on edge. Too many people argue when they come to church, y'all. Before they get here, they've been in a fuss and a fight already. When you get here, you're not ready to worship. Been fussing and fighting. Number five. What did I write down here? Let me see. Okay, here comes the number five. Fill out the contribution check or count out cash offering before arriving. See people rushing around. Oh, getting ready for service. Oh, getting ready for service. I got it. Oh, were you seeing the envelopes over there? We're rushing around doing that. We should be coming in ready for these things. As prepared people for a prepared place, right? I've heard that before. Bring your own Bible and notebook instead of counting on one being in the pew. Children. Number seven, leave early enough to arrive in time to get settled in the focus before the service begins. Children. Speaking to children now, I'm not speaking to those who don't need this. Me first. Right, Sister Valentine? I got to apologize to her because I picked her up late this morning. I had to apologize three times to her already. I got to do better. Amen. Little children, here's number eight. Last but not least, sit in a place where you are least likely to be diverted by babies, heating, cooling events, or any other distraction. Now listen to this. This is the finishing of that. Obviously, the closer to the front one sits, the fewer distractions. Let me cut it off about right there. Okay. We need some more. Children. Get it? Okay. Worship is designed to help us de-stress. It reminds us of God's greatness. Psalms 104 and 1 reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul." When you're sitting here, your soul should be rejoicing, focused on things above, not on things of the earth. Your sole purpose is to praise God when you come into the assembly of the saints, into the church. I'll read that again, Psalms 104 and 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty." We're in the presence of God, church, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. When we come here, our cares of the world should be set aside. Our common trifles should cease on our mind. And we should be at rest in the Lord. Worship, children, is being still. Have you ever told a child, "Be still"? Stop, you're doing too much. You go to walk off, you get busy, "Hey, I said be still." You're doing too much. Church, your Heavenly Father knows that you do too much. And you need to be still sometime. Especially when you come to the assembly of the Lord. We need to find rest in God's house. Worship is being still. And knowing God, do you know God enough? We come here to know God. That's what we come here for, not ourselves or our little common trifles. The song we sing, this world shall pass and with it common trifles, but God and I shall go on endlessly. We're here to come to know more about God. Psalms 46 and 10 reads, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And that's what we do as children of God. We exalt God in the earth. If people are going to see an example of how God or God's worship service is to be carried through with or obeyed, they're going to be looking at you. Children. My father was a disciplinarian. He was in the military, very disciplined man. And he had four boys. And we'd be riding the bus back in those days. And he would say, "Oh, your boys are so out of control." We sit up there, we know what's going to happen if we work. If they're such so under control, and he would smile and say, thank you. You know, if they're going to see God, they're going to see it because the discipline of God has been upon you, children. Psalms 4:4 reads, "Stand in awe and sin not. Communicate with your own heart upon your bed and be still." Sheila, we need to be still and know God. Be ready to listen to his word. Be ready to allow him to lift our heavy burdens and our loads and simply take it in as dear children. The enduring word of God. See, God's word is not just something that comes and goes. It's enduring. It has lasted the test and will last the test of times. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 9 reads. If you have your Bibles, you can flip over there with me because 1 through 9 is a little lengthy. But 1 Peter 2, 1 through 9 reads. Here it is. Okay. "Therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisies, envies, and all evils, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are building up upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will be in no means put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you, children, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Hallelujah. Praise God. The chosen stone and his chosen people, children. Both Christian character and conduct must be above reproach. There's no reason. We expect our children to be above reproach, right? When they go to school, when they go to the work in the public with you, do you want them always under condemnation? Children? No, we expect our children to be above reproach. Why? Because we've taught them better, right? We've taught them better. Having been born again into a living hope, Christians are to imitate the Holy One who has called them. We reflect Christ. The fruits of the character will be conduct rooted in submission. children, citizens to government, servants to masters, wives to husbands, husbands to wives, and Christians to one another. Suffering for God's glory. Well, brother, it sounds pretty good so far, but you don't know what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. But I know who does. And that's God, who knows the heart of all men before you can utter a word. I don't know. Let's see what God says about it. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 9. Reads, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad and exceedingly joyful. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a..." Listen to this, little children. Listen to this. Verse 15. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's," what, "matters. Yet if any suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end be for those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commend their souls to him in doing good and to the faithful creator." Little children. Little children. 1 John 2. "You are the children of God. God knows your thoughts. He knows what you're going through on a daily basis. And so God knows all. He's an all-knowing and all-seeing God. No matter what you go through during those 6 days and show up here, God knows and cares for you. He knows what you're going through. He's there in all that you do. God cares for you. 1 John 2, 28 reads, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at the coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." Little children, they will know you're of Christ when they see who you're obedient to and your reactions, your actions as a child of God. Living sacrifice of God, little children. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. And it reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Little children, we have a mission that we're on to this world. Romans 12, 1 through 2. This is all for the children of God, those who are here in sincerity and in truth, those who love to hear the Father speak and obey. who loves to walk in that godly way through the week. It's nice having the victory through the week in Christ Jesus. 12, verses 1 through 2. It reads, children, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, children. How blessed we are as the children of God. Most of us hate to wait, right? This is America. Who this past week has been in the line or something where they had to wait? Woo! Let me tell you something. It's easy to be righteous here, but when you're out there, they're going to know you by your works or your fruits, your attitudes, your characteristics. Most of us hate to wait. Doctor's offices frustrate us by asking us to arrive a half hour early before they even begin to take a look at us, to see us. If the store makes us wait in line to pay, well, likely we'll find another one next time, right? Everything's so quick now, you haven't got to wait, get your card, keep on going, right? They make me wait. I'm going to use my card now. I don't like waiting, little children. We fill our stomachs at express lunches and exchange our oil express and change our oils express lube. Everything has to be fast for us. We're Americans, right? American Christians. We didn't put any other Christians in the country. We got to have it fast. Got to have it now. Hurry, busy is our theme, church, little children. That's why many of us are no good at worship. Woo, what do you call me no good at worship? I don't know you, church. All I know is the little children that can't worship when they get here is a problem. That's why many of us are no good at worship. We arrive 1 minute after it starts. We have difficulty finding a seat and strain to see the song numbers from the person sitting in front of us. We wonder why the song leader picks four songs today instead of the usual three songs, and why they call on brother so-and-so to lead the prayer. Everybody knows he leads the longest prayers. Little children. And the preacher, he had better not go over again. Oh no. Somebody is responding to the invitation. Now we'll have to wait for a baptism. Little children. Or at least another prayer. Then we come in on the way home. This is going home. This is out of here now. I just didn't get much out of the service today. Church, we cannot hurry through worship and expect to get much out of it. You can't hurry through worship and expect to get anything out of it, church. It just doesn't happen that way, children. You got to be patient. You have to listen to what the Father has to say. You ever try to keep going? You say, stand still, boy. Come back over. I'm not finished with you yet. I got something to tell you. Something you need to hear, little children. We cannot hurry through worship again and expect to get much out of it. The Bible says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Sheila. Psalms 84 and 4. And wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27 and 14. How do we wait in worship? How do you wait in worship? Well, church, by preparing to get the most benefit from the service. Preparing yourself to get the most benefit from this service. Christ said, "Suffer not little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Christ died for our sins, gave his life on Calvary, was buried in the ground, set the captives free by doing that in Hades, and rose faithful on the third day. Was seen of men for what, 50 days after that? Ascended back up into heaven, and the Holy Father sent down the Holy Spirit. In the Acts, the second chapter, the gospel was preached, the good news. Approximately 3,000 souls or more were added to the church, and daily such as should be saved. Children of God. And then it says, and they continued steadfastly from house to house, and did eat their bread with gladness. And daily was added to the church such as should be saved. Little children, my prayer is that we are eating our meat with gladness when we come to God's house. That in our desiring to know what God's will is, our Father's will is for our lives, that do we not hurry through it? Will we allow spiritual principles to shape and mold our lives into vessels full of glory and honor, that our Heavenly Father may smile down upon us and continue to open the doors of heaven, the windows of heaven, and pour out the innumerable blessings in which he showers us with day on a daily basis. That's all I have for us today. But I pray the doors are still open to enter into this fellowship we have with Christ for those who have not been obedient, for those who cannot be called children of God. There's a whole other lesson. For those who are not right in the sight of God as children, we extend the invitation, and it's time to come whosoever will. Don't be afraid of man. When it comes to God, fear God. Fear him enough to obey him and to be a faithful child, and he will bless your life, add you to a spiritual body, and those who are in the body and not obedient, he will continue to carry you through until it's time to carry you home for eternity. We're going to stand, sing the song of invitation. The invitation is extended. Come whosoever will. 584.